Thank you for another beautiful anthem. Like as a father, and our Father is a kind and gracious Father. Jim, I loved it that you used the King James Version on that final passage. So how many of you learned that passage when you were a child? Be ye kind one to another. And probably, it's sad to think about, but Jim, probably when you and I were growing up, there were not many other translations. They hadn't invented a lot of these new translations yet. But that is what it means to be a disciple, to be kind. Let me share another verse with you. This one is from the book of Titus, in the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse. But when the goodness and the kindness of our God appeared, when the goodness and the kindness of our God appeared, He saved us. Not because we were good, not because of our deeds of righteousness, but because of His mercy. God saved us because He is kind. Jesus' hands were kind hands, doing good to all. Most of you know that Joyce and I just recently returned from an amazing sabbatical experience. It was remarkable on several different levels. People have asked me about it, and I'm quick to say the sabbatical, without a doubt, exceeded all of our expectations. And the reason is because every time we turned around, God showed up. And our young people know, you know what happens when God shows up. God kept showing up, surprising us, and teaching me lessons about life, lessons that I already knew, I thought, but lessons that I learned in a new way. And one of the lessons that I learned is the power of kindness. And I didn't really know how to phrase that, the power of kindness, until we went to Passport. And when we went to Passport, we were talking about superheroes. And so there's this wonderful T-shirt that you see some of our folks have on, and I want to show it to you, because here is my superhero T-shirt. It says, kindness is a superpower. So a lot of you have those on, and you have love more, fear less, and the Passport themed shirts, because this is what we learned. Kindness is a superpower. The psychologist Henry James said that 3 things in life are important. The first thing, he said, is kindness. The second thing, he said, is kindness. The third thing is kindness. I have learned in our blessing of being able to travel in different countries in the world is that the most important thing we can do is to be kind. Kindness is the international language. I often have people who ask me, if I travel to a different country, should I attempt to learn the language? If I go to Italy, should I learn Italian? If I go to Germany, should I learn German? If I go to England, should I learn English? Which is a good point. Now, the truth is, folks, everywhere you go in the world, people speak English, because English truly is the international language, and everyone is learning English, and it's not unusual to travel overseas, and there will be a young person maybe in college, and they speak 5 or 6 different languages fluently. So you don't need to worry about learning another language, but this is what I would recommend. Learn how to say good morning. Learn how to say thank you very much in the language of the country that you visit. And it will make a world of difference. And so if you go to Italy, you greet people with buongiorno, and when they do something, you say grazie mille. And if you go to Germany, you say guten Morgen, and when they do something kind, respond vielen Dank. And if you go to Israel, greet people in the morning by saying brokato, and if they do something nice, say toda rabba, which is a heartfelt and a sincere thank you. So I have a confession to make. I don't know if you young people know this, but when I was in college, I decided I would learn German. I actually took German when I was in college. I don't know why, but I guess in the back of my mind, since I knew I was going into the ministry and I knew a lot of great theological works were written in German, I could just see myself learning German and at night, you know, sitting by the fire with a theological journal, reading in German. Let me tell you how long that lasted. But before we went to Germany, I told Joyce, I'm going to brush up on my German. And one of the most important things was how to say thank you. So we're on the flight on the way over to Germany, and we're flying Lufthansa, which is a great German airline. So one of the flight attendants came by, and I think maybe they were serving dinner. And I looked at her, and I said, vielen Dank. And she smiled, and I said, did I say it correctly? And she said, absolutely, bitte schön, which is, you're welcome. Well, I knew I was on to something. So we landed in Germany, and of course, the first person we encountered was the agent at passport control. I don't know if you've noticed, but the people who work in customs don't seem to be the happiest people in the world. And sometimes when you go to another country, you sort of stand there, fear and trembling, when you stand before a customs agent. And they have a very difficult job. So we went up, there was a young lady, we handed her our passports, and she said, how long will you be in the country? I said, 3 weeks. Are you here on business or holiday? I said, we're here on holiday. Where are you going? And I named the different cities that we would visit, and then she said, that seems like a wonderful holiday. And as she handed me the passports back, I said to her, vielen Dank, and she had the brightest smile on her face, and she said, bitte schön. And everywhere we went in Germany, Joyce can tell you, when I would say, vielen Dank, it made a world of difference. Kindness. Kindness is an attribute of God. Kindness was modeled to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Kindness, I believe, can change the world because kindness is a superpower. Let me share this remarkable quote with you by Dr. David Orr, who is a professor of politics at Oberlin College. He writes, the plain fact is, this planet does not need more successful people, but it desperately needs more peacemakers, more healers, restorers, storytellers, lovers of every kind. It needs more kindness. It needs people of moral courage who are willing to join the fight to make the world a place that is habitable and humane. And he said these qualities have little to do with success as we define it. Here's another quote. World peace, we talk about peace. And Wes, wait until on Christmas Eve you hear this congregation sing, "Let there be peace on earth." We literally raise the roof. We want there to be peace. But world peace will not come from overthrowing dictatorial powers. It will not even come from resolving disputes against nations. World peace will only happen when humanity raises above its consciousness and fear and hatred. It will happen when we begin to practice kindness. Would I be out of line to say we need more kindness in our nation today? We need more kindness in Raleigh today. We need more kindness in Washington today. People say, well, that's just politics. I want to tell you something. Politics is no excuse for not being kind. Business is no excuse for not being kind. Competition is no excuse for not being kind. We all know that we need more kindness today, but this is where it needs to begin. It needs to begin with us. It needs to begin here in Lexington. You remember when the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush, accepting the nomination of his party, said, "What we need is a kinder, gentler nation." We need more kindness. We can change the world through kindness. We can invite people to be a part of community where kindness overflows. Isn't it sad that for many people, the only good word of kindness that they might hear comes from a machine? Maybe when they do the self-checkout at Walmart and it says, "Thank you for shopping at Walmart." Isn't it sad that that may be the kindest words that some people will hear? From the moment of our birth, we were surrounded with kindness, and we were dependent upon the kindness of those around us. And so often at the end of life, we become dependent upon the kindness and the mercy of those who surround us. But the truth is, we all need kindness. We have a desperate need for this divine quality of kindness, which results in love and compassion and mercy. When we were at Passport Kids, and I was responsible for three boys, Cameron, you remember, and Parker, and I don't think Jake is here. So I had these three boys. And one thing we would do at night before we would go to bed is I would tell stories. Remember those stories, Cameron? So I told stories. Now, these guys are 9 years old, and it was the first time they had been away from home at camp. So I told them the story about when I was 9 years old and I went to camp for the first time, but my experience was totally different than their experience. I went to this camp in Tennessee, and I was there not for 3 nights, but for 4 weeks. And when I first arrived at the camp, remember, I'm 9 years old. There were all these other kids who had been there before, and they started telling me stories about the New Orleans boys. You heard this story? The New Orleans boys. They were to be feared because the New Orleans boys were bullies. The New Orleans boys didn't show any mercy for anyone else. And they said, one day this big bus is going to pull in here, and the New Orleans boys are going to jump off of that bus, and you better watch out. Sure enough, a few days later, I'll never forget this big Greyhound bus that came pulling into the parking lot. And all of these tough-looking guys came off, but the first one was the ringleader. His name was Joey. Parker, you remember Joey? Joey was the number one bully. And Joey delighted in picking on weaker kids and just beating them up. In fact, the first day they were there, there were three kids that came running back to the cabins with bloody noses and bruises. Now, somebody asked me, well, where were the counselors? I would like to know where they were, because I never had heard anything from any of the counselors. They were probably scared too. So Joey would go around, they established their dominance. The New Orleans boys ran the camp. Now, I was a smart kid, so I just laid low. I didn't want to have anything to do with Joey or the New Orleans boys. But one day, one of my best friends came back to the cabin, and he was crying. Joey had beat him up. He had bloody nose. And it made me so angry. But I was just a little kid. I couldn't do anything about it. Later that day, and I vividly remember this, I walked into the back door of the cabin about the same time that Joey walked through the front door. Now, I'm sure in my memory, the cabin in my memory is probably much larger than it actually was. But there was a row of bunk beds on either side. Of course, you just had screens. Nothing was air conditioned. And down the middle of the cabin, we had rows of footlockers. You had to bring all your belongings in footlockers, and they lined those up in the middle of the cabin. I remember walking in the back door and looking at Joey. He saw me staring at him, and he said, "What?" I don't know what made me say this, whether I was divinely inspired or just not very bright. But I said, "Joey, you're not half as tough as you think you are." What happened next? Well, I'd like to be able to tell you this is where legends are born. You know, in a Christmas story, you know, when Ralphie beats up the bully in the Christmas story, I would like to say that's what happened with Joey. But the next thing I remember, I don't know how Joey did it, but somehow he had crammed me between those footlockers, and my nose was bleeding, and I had bruises, and that was the end of that. The next day, Cameron, you remember what happened? The next day, my grandmother sent me a box of brownies. My grandmother was so good to me. She had cooked these brownies and she mailed them. And I got those brownies. They always gave the brownies, our mail to us at lunch. And when they handed me that package, I ran back to my room. I opened it, and when I saw it was brownies, my first inclination was to hide it where no one would find it. But you know what I did? And I remember I had learned that verse in Sunday school, to be ye kind one to another. I'd learned that Jesus wants us to love our enemies. I went and found Joey. And I walked up to Joey, and he looked at me and he said, "What? I thought I took care of you yesterday." I said, "Joey, my grandmother sent me some brownies. I'd like to share them with you." Now, at first, he thought it was a trick. I mean, he looked around. He thought he was about to be ambushed. But then he took one of the brownies, and he took a bite, and he said, "These are pretty good." Joey and I sat down on the front steps of a cabin, and we devoured the whole box. From that day on, Joey was my friend. Now, the first thing the boys asked me, did he still beat up little kids? Yeah, he did. He had not reformed completely. But I learned something. I learned something that day, that kindness is a superpower. And it wasn't until years later, when I was thinking about that, that I realized something. You see, Joey and the New Orleans boys were boys that were on the streets of New Orleans. It was some local charity that sent them to this camp because they didn't come from homes that could afford or even would want to send them to a summer camp. Joey didn't have a grandmother to bake him brownies and to mail them to the camp. But I touched on something that day without even knowing it. The power of kindness can change a life. The power of kindness can change the world. Kindness is a superpower. And when we are kind, we're more like Jesus, whose hands were kind hands, doing good to all.